Hey everyone, how you doing? It's Nelly here. I hope you're well. Look, this episode's a special one. It's actually a live recording from a show we did at the Malthouse Outdoors at the iconic Malthouse Theatre in Melbourne in February as part of their annual podcast season. Your guests on the podcast include comedian, author and broadcaster Sammy Shah, comedian and Dear Nelly favourite Kirsty Wiebeck, and comedian and actor Lizzie Hu. Now, it's an extra long episode for you. I was going to put it behind the paywall for paid subscribers, but then I decided that it was just too bloody good and that you should all get a listen. Now, another big announcement. Oh, I've just finished building us a new website. Yes, you can go to dearnellypodcast.com. And if you listen regular, you'll know that I get like severe tech anxiety. So I'm pretty bloody proud of myself. It's not completely finished. I'm still doing some of the text and photos and stuff, but the gist of everything is there. So head to dearnellypodcast.com and have a look for resources and live show information and all the things. Now, as I said, this podcast was recorded at the Malthouse Theatre in Melbourne. I acknowledge the unceded lands of the Kulin Nation and acknowledge their sovereignty and their songlines. I pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging, and embrace and celebrate the oldest culture in the world. Last but not least, regular listeners will know that this is a sex, dating and relationships podcast for adults. If you don't like swearing, it's really going to give you the shit. So you know what to do. Off your fuck.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Dear Nelly, I could use some advice. Dear Nelly, yeah, some help would be nice. Dear Nelly, I'm eager to hear your point of view. Dear Nelly, there's a lot to explore, dear Nelly, when you're 40 or more, dear Nelly, so I'm hoping we can talk it through. Dear Nelly, I'm rocking my prime and it's time to get down some, maybe mess around some, it's never too late.
Don't heckle me anymore, or I will come for you. Just by a show of hands, who listens to the podcast? Oh, bless. Who doesn't? What are you actually doing here? Do you know what's happening? No fucking idea. Yeah. First things first, there'll be a lot of swearing, right? You're okay with that. I can tell because you're in orange, and a woman in orange knows her place in the world. Very nice. It's going to be about sex, dating and relationships, right? Hey! Oh, God. For regular listeners, Bev's here. Hi, Bev. So long story short, what's the podcast about? For those of you who haven't listened before, now don't get all sad at this bit. It's just a reality. A few years ago, many years ago now, I got COVID divorced. Oh, it's great. It's all right. I'm fine. The last date I had been on was in the late 1800s. We corresponded via pen and quill. There was a horse and cart. There was certainly no apps. You had to ask Dad for permission. It was that kind of vibe. And when I got divorced, I was like, and I started dating, I was like, all the podcasts and everything that I'm listening to are very focused at a younger demographic. And they were asking questions like, am I hot enough? Obviously. Who should pay on the first date? Both of you. Am I good in bed? Well, you're probably not. You haven't had much experience, but I'm terrific. Okay, I thought that'd get a bigger laugh. What I actually wanted to know as someone who's nearing 50 was, have they been in therapy? Right? That's what I don't give a fuck about anything else. Are you actively in therapy? Have you ever been in it? Do you have insight? If you haven't, this is not going to work out. What's your attachment style? Which is a hot question on a first date. And if they don't know what attachment style is, also a bad sign. And do you have an outlet at your place for my CPAP machine? It's important. I can't sleep if you don't have one, right? I've got the whole Darth Vader situation going on. So I turned 50 in a few months. I know. How exact? Well, some of you are disinterested. They're the ones who are over 50. Fuck yeah. I decided in the last year to start challenging myself with new things. So first things first, I started at the gym. Yeah, I did. Yeah, bloody did. When I say, I mean, I go regularly. My bank account goes once a week. I go about monthly for a chat. There's a couple of my friends here from the gym. They'll know I don't do a lot, but I do show up occasionally and I'm a good chatter. Number two, I started powerlifting. Yeah, I did. Last night, 3 sets, 5 reps, 80 kilos. Oh, a couple of you know, the lesbians know exactly what I'm talking about. Number three, I started doing drag. Yes, I did. Yes, Juliet's a big fan. For those of you who are not familiar, I mean like drag as in drag queens. So for context, in the early 1990s, I started going to the queer clubs in Perth. When I say clubs, there was one. It was called Connections. And I walked in and I walked up this flight of stairs. And to my left, there was a woman sitting there just sort of surveying the whole thing. And she went, turned to her friend and went, fresh meat. A man to my right went, what are you doing here? And then in front of me, like Moses parting the sea, was a magical drag queen who walked right up to me and said, you come in here, sweetheart, and we hit that fucking dance floor and I have loved drag ever since. So that was like 1992. I wanted to do drag then. I didn't have the confidence. I'm turning 50 this year. I just started. Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I'm pretty shit at it. But that's kind of the point. Part of the thing, for those of you who listen to the podcast will know, the whole point is challenging yourself to push yourself out of your comfort zone. What else did I do? Oh, you're going to love this one. Yeah, so as I said, 50 in a few months and I just fell in love. Oh! I'm trying not to look in the journal area. Linda is here. We're there for regular listeners. We would have heard Linda's name. Linda is here. She's not showbiz. She's not used to that kind of attention. So I'd like you all to turn and look at Linda and say, hello, Linda. Oh, such a civilian. Look at you, shy and retiring type. We might be able to get into that story, but yes, what a magical turn of events. You never know, never too late. There was something else I started doing this year. What was it? Fisting. Yeah. That was just for Bev. I'm kidding, Bev. Get over it. Jeez, I've been fisting for years. It's fine. All right. Just testing the level. Some of you at the back are like, what the fuck is going on? That is not, that's vanilla for Bev. You have not listened to her episode. All right. Do you want to meet your panel tonight? Come on, you've got a bunch of needy comedians. That is not good enough. Would you like to meet your panel? Yes, you would. Okay, first up we have Sammy Shah. Sammy Shah is one of my favourite comedians and broadcasters. He started stand-up in Pakistan, moved to Australia and landed in a small town in the West Australian Wheatbelt where I am from originally and where I grew up. He made jokes about that town on TV, weirdo, and no one ever spoke to him again. He found his natural home in Melbourne. He got divorced. He got married again. He became one half of the best ever ABC radio presented pairings, I think. Sammy Shah and Jacinta Parsons, whose episode came out today. He got divorced again. He's now in his forever relationship, and that is a big story that I hope we can get into. He's a bitch. He's a lover. He's a child. He's a mother. He's a sinner. He's a saint. He does not feel ashamed. We wouldn't want him any other way. Please put your hands together for Sammy Shaw. How are you, Sammy Shah?
I'm getting by.
You're getting by?
Yeah. That's a weird introduction.
Is it the weirdest introduction you've ever had?
Yeah, yeah. When you put it all down on paper like that, it does make it sound like a litany of disasters.
To me, it sounds like someone who's brave and knows how to live the life that they want.
That is a positive spin on it that my parents would appreciate.
Would you like me to call them after?
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
No,
okay, good. They wouldn't like
me. They think
me.
I'm working in a day job right now. That's right. Yeah.
You're not even getting paid. Next up, our next guest, and we'll come back to Sammy. Next up, we have Lizzie Hu, or as I like to call her, Lizzie Bloody Hu. Lizzie is a writer, comedian, and actor, a noodle enthusiast. Both literally and metaphorically, mad for the D. Absolutely mad for her. I've been watching your stand-up. She has a brilliant stand-up special on Prime Video, which is doubly astounding, given that she started doing stand-up only in 2017 to improve her self-confidence. You could have gone on retreat, mate. Jesus Christ. Not too long ago, she moved to Melbourne with her boyfriend of 8 years. They bought a house. They got a dog. They broke up. They co-parent the dog. You sure it's the D you like? We'll come back to that. They're friends-ish. She's back on the app. She's single. She's ready to mingle. She won't go chasing waterfalls. She sticks to the rivers and the lakes that she's used to. Please put your hands together for Lizzie Bloody Hu.
What an intro.
How's that?
Mad for the D. All right.
I think the theme so far is people who've made bad life choices.
That's my brand.
Yeah, fair enough.
Right? Yeah. And then we reframe it.
Yeah, that's what they call that.
Yeah. Well done, Lizzie.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I'm great. Excited to be here. Thanks for coming.
Pumped.
Yeah, pumped. Absolutely.
You got comedy
pumped.
Festival soon.
Yeah, comedy festival. Start my tour next week in Perth and
amazing.
Then Adelaide. Then I'll be here. Yeah.
Fabulous. Pumped. And what's your show called?
It's called Who's That Girl?
Who?
Yeah, not after the Guy Sebastian song or the Annie Lennox song.
Right.
It's the 2001 R&B hit by Eve. Do you remember that? That's the one you picked?
Was it?
Yeah, you're in the demographic.
Gee, that's
then.
Niche.
All right, you're good.
Yeah, one ticket seal.
Yeah, I've got one ticket seal. No one else knew. Okay.
I thought my musical references were weird. That's a whole
that's
other
niche.
Level.
It's a bit niche.
No, I love it.
Okay, thanks.
Mad for it. So you're all going to go and see Lizzie Hu at the Comedy Festival, aren't you? Yes, you are. I tell you who else you're going to see at the Comedy Festival. It's Kirsty Wiebeck. Oh, my God, I'm obsessed with Kirsty Wiebeck. One of my besties. She's also one of Australia's most beloved comedians, whatever, who cares. She's just my strawberry friend to me. Like, I love her. She's thoughtful. She's loyal. She's honest. She's such a beautiful friend. She's also a great comedian and a speaker and an actor and a voiceover and presenter and best damn boogie boarder this side of Canberra. She wants you. She needs you. But she's never going to love you. Don't be sad. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. All right. Welcome to the stage, Kirsty Wiebeck. I can't lie.
I can't tell you that I'm sorry. Hello. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello there. Thanks for having me. I'm stoked to be here.
We're stoked to have you, and I'm so sorry for introducing a vegetarian with a meatloaf song.
I would not have noticed.
Wouldn't you?
No.
Everyone else did, I reckon.
Everyone's visibly upset.
It was ironic.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Yeah, good on you. Welcome, darling.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for coming. How are we all feeling about sitting on stage and disclosing our deepest, darkest sex, dating, relationship secrets?
I would
I'm
have
not
been
sure
here anyway.
Yet.
Yeah.
I would have just been sitting here on my own even if this event went on, like just... Lamenting.
This wasn't in the brief I received about the show.
Yeah, it was.
So, yeah, all right. Yeah.
I thought it was about politics.
Yeah, that's why I thought this was a rational fear. Oh, yeah. I'm very confused right now.
Oh, there's so many jokes that I will never make about my colleagues. But, yes, you are here for – well, look, we'll start with the questions. I'm going to give you your first question, Sammy.
All right.
Are you ready?
Okay.
You're a journalist.
Yes.
Right, round one, I should say. We're going to run this like a demented game show. The first round will be getting to know them, and then we've got a bunch of listener letters to get into in the second half. So you're a journalist. Like, you actually had a proper job.
Yeah, well, journalism isn't a proper job, but yeah, sure. Oh. Come on, let's be honest. Have you seen journalists in Australia? No.
You weren't a journalist.
I'm a comedian. That's more of a proper job right now. Yeah. More likely to have career growth. Yeah.
This is true. But you're a journalist, you're a comedian, you're a broadcaster. This is my question to you, because our first round is lovingly entitled Shit I Found Out About You on the Internet.
Oh, okay.
Right?
The lot, yeah.
Your partner, Kylie Moore Gilbert, who's here tonight, is an academic. An internationally known political prisoner at one point, quite literally was on the news most nights for a number of years when you were working in radio. This is a multiple choice question.
Right.
What is more astounding? A, that you met Kylie Moore Gilbert on a dating app.
Mm-hmm.
B, that you didn't recognise her.
Mm-hmm.
C, that she met Sammy Shah on a dating app. D, that she didn't recognise you.
All
How
of the above.
How did that happen?
Right. All of the above is true. I think in her defense, like, she was in Iran. And my audience base is not Iran-based right now. I don't know. I haven't expanded out in that market yet. I haven't got a Netflix special yet. But
hang on. She was in Iran when you met on the app.
No. After that. But I'm just saying, yeah. Like, my moment of fame briefly that I had in Australia was during that period. But I think also, as you mentioned, I was on radio.
Yes.
And so you don't see faces in radio. And that's true. And that helped a lot. The fact that, like, I could meet anyone. And also, like, part of it is being me. And it's something you only know if you really get to know me, is I don't remember people.
Right.
Like, I have met, there are people that I've met many times, and they'll come up to me and be like, we worked together for 7 years. And I was like, I have no idea. You're an imposter. I have no clue.
So do you have...
I'm just a jerk, I think, is what the correct answer is.
You're either not paying attention.
Well, there's that.
Or you've got face aphasia.
I feel like not... Face aphasia is a nice way of saying jerk. It's just like most of these diagnoses are just like, no, you're a jerk. It's just, yeah, that's where I am. So yeah, I think so, yeah.
Now, a follow-up question. I know your daughter is here. I found it very interesting. For those of you who haven't seen the Australian story that features the love story of Sammy and Kylie, I loved, it's particularly niche because I also have a teenager, I loved how outraged your teenager was that you were on a dating app.
Yes.
Tell me.
I mean, she only found out because during the documentary making, I think. I don't know. Like, well, you don't run it by your kids, do you? Like,
no.
You're not like, what do you think of my profile? And then you like, hey, what do you think of these pictures? And no. Like, at all. She might have chosen better profile pictures than the ones I did. I think I dressed as Gaddafi in one of them. So that's why. But out of all the dictators, which one would you find sexiest, right?
Kim Jong. Come on. Are you kidding me?
Maybe.
That guy looks like a fun guy.
All right, fair. But I think I'd be canceled if I dressed as Kim Jong. Yeah. So I had to, it's just a cultural appropriation
thing. You don't think
thing.
You'd
I
had be to canceled go with the brown guy. Gaddafi?
You know, he's brown.
Oh, you're allowed. Okay, yeah, I'm learning.
Yeah, yeah. I think dictator rules is that, yeah.
What I mean is I find it really interesting, like particularly, I don't know if you would identify yourself as a progressive parent, but I find it really interesting that progressive parents often have really conservative kids where they're like, you're dating?
Well, there is that thing, there's that rule of like, I think Patton Oswalt said, which is if you want cool kids who actually are like really progressive and everything, then be the lamest parent on earth. The only album you should have at home is Phil Collins' No Jacket Required.
Nothing wrong with that.
And your kids will then be amazingly adventurous with music.
Yeah.
And I have committed to that philosophy hardcore. Yeah.
I love it. All right. Now, Kirsty Wiebeck. Shit, I found out about you online. I already knew this, but let's just pretend it for the sake of fun. That bloody panther. I'm not even going to talk about that fucking panther. But anyway, you once dated an actual, proper, real-life pathological liar, right?
Yeah.
I would like to know the most extreme lie she told, the most common lie she told, and what it was like dating a pathological liar. Oh.
Are you okay?
Yeah. I've recovered.
Yeah.
I think it's taken me 12 years to recover. I mean, she used to lie about everything.
Yeah.
and it, like literally everything. Like if she had like a salad sandwich for lunch, she'd say that she had soup. Like it's really funny now, but like that's a literal example. And
it does your head in.
It does your head in, yeah. So probably the funniest lie that she told me was one time I was walking home from work when I had a job and and I was walking home from work and she drove past me.
Yeah.
And she was very distinctive looking and she also had a distinctive looking car. And hear me out, because this is going to sound not great, but I knew her license plate. but the reason was that she used to always give me lifts to the airport and I used to pay the toll, and so I'd memorized her license plate, right? So she's driven past me in her car with her distinctive appearance with her license plate, and I text her a few minutes later. And I'm like, oh, hey, like I'm just walking through Fitzroy. You just drove past me. Like, what are you up to? Do you want to have a drink or whatever? And she texts back a few minutes later. Like it must have been when she pulled up at the lights. And she goes, oh, I'm at Blah Blah's house in Werribee. And I was like, you just drove past me. Like I can identify my girlfriend in her vehicle driving. But she really just doubled down and was like, nah, I'm in Werribee. And I'm like, okay, your identical twin has gone out to Werribee, stolen your car, and he's cutting chap laps of Brunswick Street.
Like- they could be twins. Like, this could be the plot of The Prestige, and you just basically didn't realize.
Oh, there you go. We've cracked the case.
Yeah.
Oh, you were dating both of them all this time.
It's all resolved.
Well done, Sammy.
I do therapy for free.
Yeah, that's
right. I wish I'd talked to you about this earlier.
Yeah. But for real, like, no one's filming you. This will never get back to anyone by show of hands. And I mean proper. I mean, like, not just that they were a dickhead, but who's dated a pathological liar? Yeah. Quite a bit. Like, there's more than you think, right?
This is a lot of people.
That's heaps of people. It is.
No. Again, like, it's just jerk. It's coming. Right?
Is it?
Like, isn't it? That's just a like jerk. It's a fancy real thing, jerk.
Says right? Is this your theory checking out?
Everyone is polyamorous, like that. Yeah, it's like that. Yeah. Sorry, in Melbourne, I shouldn't make that joke.
You're in the wrong audience, my friend.
So, a couple of people looking at their partners being like, I said it too.
Yeah, like, that's right. What, how did you, I don't know what to ask. How did you recover from that? Because that's actually, even though it's funny now, it's very destabilizing, right, to be with someone. You must at some point be questioning your own sanity.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah, when you knew for a fact that she'd been up to different things than what she said, after a bit I was like, is this me? Like, am I misremembering things or whatever?
Yeah.
How I recovered from it, I think – I just got like straight back into dating.
Did you?
And I was like, oh, that'll sort it out.
Yeah, way back.
Yeah, back on the horse. Weirdly enough, it didn't sort anything out. And then
I had fun though.
Oh, I had a great time.
Yeah.
I had a hiatus. I had to have a hiatus from dating.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had to go and sort myself out.
Yeah.
Like, not in that way. Like.
But in that way?
Yeah, a bit in that way.
Then stop it.
I talked to a therapist about it and, yeah, I had a break from dating and then, I made sure that I was properly over it before I started dating again.
Yeah.
Because it's just so easy to, like, just take that, like, headspace, like, straight into the next thing
into
that you're
the
in.
Next thing, totally.
And just, you know, if the next partner that you're with or whatever, like, if they misremember something or, you know, you're hypervigilant and you're like, interesting, Vegemite toast, was it?
Yeah.
It looked like peanut butter from where I was sitting.
I think you said Lurpak and I saw Nuttallax.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, and if you know that wound's still there, then taking that into your next dating scenario is just not fair on you or them.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. You did the work.
Thanks, mate.
Look at you go.
I'm thriving.
Yeah, you can clap that. I respect that.
I got an applause break. Sucked in, Lizzie.
You know, we're too old for this shit. Like, you did the work. Well done.
Yeah, thanks, Nelly. I appreciate that.
All right, Lizzie who? Oh, you were so easy. Classic oversharer. I love it.
All
over the internet. Hour on Netflix was just...
Yeah, the hour on Netflix was a giveaway. Not on Netflix. No, it's Amazon. On Prime.
Amazon. Yeah. Bezos.
Everyone go home and watch Lizzie money. On Prime. Yeah. All right. Took me 30 seconds of Googling you, Lizzie, who, to find out that you like to shit in the ocean. Now, that is not a metaphor. And this woman lives in Port Melbourne, so avoid the area.
I've never met your partner.
If you haven't tried it, you haven't lived.
Lizzie.
I stand by it.
Like, I will go, like, an accident is one thing, but that's full of shame.
Is it, like, is this a daily thing or something?
No.
It's just cold plunges that people do in the morning. They go in the ocean and is that what they're doing? Like, just.
And is that on your Tinder profile? No. Like long walks on the beach and then a shit in Port Phillip Bay. Lizzie.
Okay, let me explain myself.
Why are you laying a cable?
You got to do it once in your life.
No.
Not all at the same time. Just do it once in your life. Okay, an ex-boyfriend a long time ago, probably like 14 years ago,
Hang on. Are you going to blame an ex for you shitting in the ocean?
Well, he encouraged me. He was a surfer. So they shit in the ocean all the time.
What?
100%. Ask any surfer if they've shat in the ocean. Maybe not the wetsuit ones down here, but definitely where I'm from, the Queensland ones in their boardies.
Oh, Queensland, say no more.
Queensland, different.
They're shitting in the
ocean. Unless you are Annette Bening and Jodie Foster's on the fucking boat urging you on, you don't get to shit in the ocean.
No.
Also, how deep in the ocean are you? Because ocean can just be water up to your ankles. Like that.
All right, guys. You're not in the flags. You're not swimming between the flags.
That's respectful.
You've got to be a bit courteous.
That's very respectful.
To your fellow swimmers. You're at a deserted beach, preferably. You've had a coffee.
Preferably.
The time's right.
Lizzie, preferably.
Preferably you're in the toilet.
Can I just side note and say, if you looked at this panel and I said someone on this panel shat in the ocean, it wouldn't be this little vision in the middle.
Oh, who would it be?
It'd be you for sure. It's Shah.
Yeah,
right?
Let's take a vote.
It's 100% this one.
Sammy, yep.
You don't look
Why
like
Why are you looking at me that way?
Because I don't want it to be me, so I've got it. I've got to be on this side.
I didn't do it. She does it.
I'm not ashamed of it.
Lizzie, you don't look like you even poo. You are a little bit ashamed.
I'm a little.
All right, tell us how it felt. Quick, move on.
Great.
Next question. How's it feel?
I imagine it's like how a water birth feels. I don't know. It just.
No, mate. Oh. Okay. Okay. Couple of things. One, how easy do you think birth is?
I know.
It was nice being on the last podcast ever recorded. Thanks for inviting me. Yeah.
It was good while it lasted.
Surely you can just have a double shot espresso and shoot the baby out. Yeah. Yeah.
That 36 hours of labour, I was just having a great time. So like, this is just like being in the ocean. Just like doing a Lizzie shit. I mean, you get something better at the end. Like, I found something else out about you.
Oh, right? God.
This one.
I'm scared now.
This one. She has a rescue greyhound that, as I said, she shares custody of with the ex. And I have to ask, are you sure you're not a lesbian?
Oh, I tick so many
boxes, but not the right ones.
I know.
Greyhound. And you share custody.
I shit in the ocean.
Ellen DeGeneres was known for her ocean shit.
I live in Brunswick. I play hockey. I tick so many boxes.
Would you like to share anything?
I don't think Percy does a single one of those, by the way.
Lizzie, it's Midsummer Festival at the moment. Now's a great time to come out.
Now's the time.
As a monster.
It's a scat festival. There's a site, yeah. And this is the real question. Anyone who's seen Lizzie's special, and I love this, I love comedians who can go to hard places and you do it in a very charming and lovely way. But one of the things that really resonated with me is the vision of you and your family talking about death constantly, right?
All the time.
Death obsessed. And in the context of this podcast, let me put this to you. It's a big one. It's early.
Okay.
But I think you can handle it. Do you think we search for a life partner because we're scared of dying alone?
I don't think so.
Oh, no. That was a quick answer. I don't know what you're talking about. No, I don't.
No, it's to split the rent.
It's, yeah. Housing's tough. Getting into the market's tough.
It's cost of living.
Yeah.
It's cost of living. Yeah.
No, I don't think you find a life partner to not be I don't know. I feel like you could be lonely even with the partner. You might.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean?
Like, yes, you can. Yeah. Would you like to elaborate on that, Lizzie?
I was going to reference my parents. I mean, they've been together for 50 years. Just.
How old? Like,
dad's 84 and mum's 78.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and leaving your parents aside, generationally, there'd be plenty of people of that generation who stayed together even though they didn't like each other, and that would be profoundly lonely.
Oh, I'd say so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're looking at me like, do not go there, Thomas. And we do not have to.
Yeah. I think they're so different. Like in 50 years,
Dad never encouraged your mum to shit in the ocean.
No. But that's the other thing.
That bonding moment that all couples that last have.
Poo does bind us. quite literally. No. No, but we also talk about poo in my family a lot. So anyway. I feel like they're of that generation. They stuck it out, you know. Like there's a lot of sticking it out and staying together, which I don't think my generation necessarily does.
Yeah.
Mm.
Do you think – so your family is quite happy to talk about death. They're quite happy to talk about poo. Did they talk about sex?
No, not – I wouldn't say we talk about relationships a bit.
Yeah.
But not sex.
Not any – did you get any birds and bees talk?
Oh, I was raised Catholic.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought there'd be a hush over at the crowd.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So
now
there wasn't
the shitting in the ocean makes sense.
Yes.
So what did they say anything to you about periods, for example?
Oh, my gosh. At my Catholic school, like even wearing a tampon was bad.
Oh, because you're not a virgin anymore.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
Is that what? I don't know if they do that at Catholic school anymore. But I remember like at one really – great week at my school was when we had a flasher outside of the school.
Oh.
Yeah. Like more hype than when we had a male work experience teacher. Honestly, the flasher, like they had an announcement that came over the speaker that said, girls, there's a flasher on Hawthorne Road. Just beware. That was it. The 90s.
Just beware.
Yeah.
Just beware.
Keep your wits about you. And every girl was like, I need to get there. I need to see this penis.
Oh my God.
Like, we'd never seen one before. We had to go and see one.
Anyone who's a flasher, like, I just don't think that's the first penis you need to see.
No.
Well, we did.
Yeah. it's not an ideal introduction.
We didn't have the internet. No. We didn't have the internet.
You had pens and paper.
Yeah, we had to go to the book and look one up.
Just draw one yourself.
Like go to.
That's what we did. We used to draw them ourselves and just look at them. Yeah.
Bloody maths book. Dick and balls. You're done.
Yeah, no.
And boobs on the calculator. You sorted.
No.
So did you get any sex ed at all?
Oh, very poor sex ed when I think about it now.
And what are we talking?
It was like, don't have sex. That was the sex. Abstinence. That was the sex. Don't get pregnant.
Yeah.
You know, don't fuck this up, you blue light disco slut. That was.
All of that still holds up.
Yeah.
That's good advice.
Yeah, I give that advice
to my kids. I was at a state school, like public school in the West Australian Week, and my chemistry teacher was our sex ed teacher.
Yeah.
And he said, and I quote, keep your bloody knickers on.
Yeah.
Everyone went, okay. You can do a lot with your knickers on, let me tell you. what sex ed did you get way back?
Oh, probably not dissimilar to that. The thing that's really stuck in my mind is holding a Tic Tac between your knees.
What?
Because you don't want it to drop, so your legs are just going to be shut and that's hard to access.
Wait, when are you supposed to do this? In class?
Just around the clock.
Or like all day long?
Yeah, I mean, like Yeah, mine dissolved 2 weeks ago, but it had been going for like 34 years.
Wow. Do you know what? This sounds like, you know when you've got a friend and Bev is one of these friends, one of those friends who starts getting into colonic irrigation and I saw like a crayon pass through and I saw a fucking little figurine, Lego figurine. That's that Tic Tac.
Wow.
Is Bev a shark?
I mean, a shark.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's totally shit between my knees, but okay.
So you didn't get told anything about like contraception? I mean, I'm not even going to ask you what told about pleasure. I'm going to like, did you get told the.
Yeah, by my mum. I remember my mum had a talk with my older sister and I, and she said, it was really abrupt and gruff. It was like it was the shortest speech mum's ever delivered. Like she loves a monologue. And
oh, mum must be nervous she's not talking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I was just thinking it was a bit like the pot calling the kettle black there. Like I'm like, mum loves a monologue from me who like delivers them for a living. But mum said like she basically told us to not have sex. Because she said condoms weren't always effective because sometimes there's a prick in them. And I remember my older sister and I just looking at each other and being like. And it wasn't for years later. Like I think it was when we were adults that we talked about that to mum and she and that's when we told her what she'd actually said. And she was like, well, it worked.
Yeah. They're both lesbians. It worked.
No, that one's not. That one's not. That's the token straight in the family.
Oh, she made a mistake then. That reminds me of that story. Like I'm a bit older than you, but there was a story that went around WA when we were at school. That one that someone was going around putting like pinpricks in condoms at chemists and wherever.
Did that in strawberries later, right?
And like, strawberries later. Oh, and then there was another one that someone had gotten a deep fried rat from KFC and thought it was a chicken leg. Just me? Okay. No, a couple of you going, yes, yes, just people from WA. So that
Australian
KFC
culture is fascinating.
Isn't it great?
It's really just wonderful and rich.
Were they both rumours or were they legit?
I think they were real.
Okay.
But I believe a lot of shit. No, I think they were complete apocryphal. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think they were real. Sammy, what did you get told about sex, if anything?
Oh, God. Because I was in Pakistan and so we didn't have sex education per se. We did have our Islamiyat teachers, we had Islamic studies in school. He took it upon himself because he was like, you know, someone's got to tell these kids.
Yeah.
So he came in and he said, and basically, I'm quoting here.
Yeah.
He said, sometimes a man falls on a woman and then she gets pregnant. And then he said, any questions? And all of us had questions. We're like, what did he trip? What happened? Yeah. Like, how did he? And that was genuinely the only sex education we got in school.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did you think that you could get? Remember, we used to think you could get pregnant from like a spa bath, for example, or you could get an STI from a toilet seat, or like what were the rumors running around your section of Pakistan?
This was 1992 or 1991. Yeah. So like it was I think the movie Philadelphia just came out as well. So everyone, we were like, did you get AIDS? Everyone gets AIDS. But everyone who has sex gets AIDS.
Yeah.
So that's why you shouldn't have sex. And basically that was what we'd all decided.
Yeah.
And then I think.
So you'll have a baby you don't want or get AIDS and you'll die.
We didn't even know about
Welcome
babies.
Welcome to sexuality. Yeah. Yeah.
But then we, one of the boys brought back a VHS tape from America. And then that informed all of us.
Was it actual
was it?
Porn?
Yeah. It was called Revenge porn. Of the Catwoman 2. I remember the name.
Oh, I bet you do.
And
what was it, sorry?
Revenge of the Catwoman 2, not part 1. I don't know what happened in the first part. I had to watch the sequel. And
that tape is going even longer than your Tic Tac. Yeah. It's still fucking on high rotation.
But also back then, because we used to have, in Pakistan, we still have power outages. And so you put the VHS tape in. I remember this. We had three friends. We're all watching it and the power went out. And then the VHS tape is stuck in there and the parents are going to come home soon.
Oh.
And you have to know what a VCR is to like, well, your audience does, obviously. And this is a Betamax crowd if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we took butter knives and we loosened the screws and got the entire reel out that way. And that's how we didn't die, basically.
Wow.
That's heaven.
You escaped death. Yeah.
Personally, I'm more stuck on the fact that you were watching porn with three friends. Is that normal?
It's a guy thing.
Is it?
I don't know if anymore, but my generation, very much. It used to be because you didn't like, it was one person had it.
Yeah.
And he's never going to part with it.
No.
So you're like, well, I guess I'll go watch it at his house. And then he's not leaving the room. So then everyone just watches it. And it's just very strange. But yeah.
What are you doing while you're watching it?
Everyone runs home. Everyone goes, all right, goodbye. And then, yeah.
Well, you need your mates there in case you like lose track of the plot.
Right.
Yeah, also that.
Who's that bloke?
Yeah.
Wait, is that a stepdad?
Yeah.
I cannot. Can either of you imagine sitting around with two friends watching porn?
No.
No.
You're weird.
Yeah.
I love that for you. All right, Lizzie, who? Specialist knowledge. This is sort of like the QI round.
Oh,
all right. Except there's some women on the panel. Thank you, Sammy. That was just for you.
Can you
please explain why COVID is a dude?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's obvious, really. COVID's had, 4 years now? 5 years to fix himself?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, get some therapy, COVID. Just comes back all the time, like with a man bun and a beard. You know?
Just sliding back into your DMs.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah. Still around.
Yeah. I went overseas for a while. I'm back.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's why COVID's a dude.
How are you finding online dating?
How do I find it? I have a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind it. It's quite you go through phases. I think everyone does that. And then like you're in it and then you're out of it. It's like, yeah.
And where are you in it now? What's going on?
Yeah. I'm on pause now.
Yeah.
I do a lot of pausing.
Yeah.
But I've like got so much work on. I find it so hard because the last time I online dated was like OG 2015 Tinder, which was, right. I was just starting out in comedy. I still worked full time. It was easy, you know, but now I'm like full time comedy. Oh, do you want to catch up with me on a Tuesday morning?
Yeah.
Like our lives aren't conducive to dating. It's really hard.
Yeah.
And I find that. And you meet someone nice. You have
a nice
time.
Especially the run-up to the festival because now you've got to do gigs every night.
Yeah. Now it's like I'll see you in 3 or 4 weeks.
Just flyer them.
Yeah.
Can I just apologize to the majority of the audience who work 80 hours a week and manage to date? And we're so busy.
It's the hours.
It is really hard, guys.
We do a 15-minute set every Friday.
When you're working 9 to 5 or 9 to 9 or whatever, like it's still done in the evening, usually.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's like the main thing. I remember that like being a real challenge when you'd meet someone and then you'd be like, when can I see you again? They're like, well, Thursday? Nah, I can't do Thursday. All right, what about next Wednesday? Nah. All right, well, I guess we never see each other again.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah.
It is a lot like that.
I'll see you after a gig at 10:30 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Sammy, share your wisdom, what is the best way to avoid divorce?
Yet to figure that one out. It's the best way to avoid divorce. I think the one I've figured out so far that works best for me is just if you don't get married, you cannot get divorced. Legally, that's how it works, right? And it took me a long time to figure that one out, but that's what I'm trying now.
Yeah.
And I think it works. Yeah.
Weebek's engaged. That's an engaged lady. So my question for you is, do I have to pay for my own bridesmaid's dress? Or do you have a fund for it? And just a follow-up question, what's the budget?
For the wedding or the dress?
For your dress.
I reckon we'll do that thing where you make it out of newspaper.
Look, I'll bring that on the honeymoon. It'll be fine. So you're engaged. How long have you been engaged for?
Oh, I don't know. Ages.
A while.
Yeah.
Pre-COVID or post-COVID?
No, in like... during lockdowns, so like probably 2 or 3 years, I guess.
So I bought an air fryer. You got engaged.
Yeah, we got engaged, yeah. Yeah, we don't have any plans to get married.
I know.
Currently.
I'm trying to prompt them.
Yeah, we're just busy.
Oh, my God. Listen to these fucking comedians. They're so busy.
We're so busy. I've got
too busy to date. Too busy to get married.
I've got 3 10-minute gigs next week. I don't know how I'm going to cram in planning a wedding. I've got to go on the radio for 4.5 minutes on Monday morning. And people are going, when are you getting married, Kirsty? And I'm like, I don't have the time.
Busy, busy, busy.
Busy, busy, busy.
We
don't have any immediate plans. I don't know. It'll be a long engagement. We might just have some sort of like, I don't know, bonding ceremony. We might just go and have a shit in the bay together.
True love.
I can there officiate it. I can be there.
Right.
I'll do that for you. I'll put the snorkel on.
Lizzie's going to officiate. I'm happy to name those little baby turds. You can christen them. There's a whole, we've got
it's
a whole
be
thing
beautiful.
Going. Elle would be thrilled. Like, she'd what partner it. Wouldn't love that? Baby, let's not get married. Let's go take a dump at St Kilda Beach. That would be so romantic. Oh, my God, I'm dying to ask if you poo in front of her, but I'm not going to do that. We're going to have a break, everyone, and when we come back for the second half, we're going to take some incredible listener questions. But for now, well, I want you to go. I want you to buy merch if you can be bothered, but I also want you to have a drink, hang out, talk to each other and give your panel a clap. But they're coming back. Sammy Shah, Lizzie Hu, Percy Wayback. Let's put some music on. We'll be back. I hope you all had a lovely break. In fact, why don't we take this opportunity to thank all of the staff, including the catering, the bar staff, the tech, the sound, the production people, everyone who's working here. Thank you to everyone at the Malt House for having us. And I'll do some more thank yous while you still care. I would also like to thank the lovely Faye Younger over there, producer Faye, my ride and die, always here. Thank you, Faye. Elia is also, I think you're still there, I can't see, Elia is also selling merch. Let's give Elia a big round of applause. Thank you. And, of course, and you can't see her, but our producer, Rebecca Austin, backstage. Give her a round of applause. Thank you. I'll put your fucking arms into it. Come on. Come on. All right, we're ready for some juicy listener questions.
Yeah.
I had so much fun compiling these. This one I'm going to put to all of you. Okay. Dear Nelly, I started seeing a guy about 6 months ago. I recently met his family. His sister is in her 20s and still lives at home, which is fine. I love that as well, which is fine.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Except that when I went to the family home and was introduced to her, she literally looked at me, turned on her heels and went to her room. She didn't say hello, she didn't come back out, and no one said anything. Is this normal? I have some thoughts. Lizzie, should we start with you?
My thoughts go to, oh, does this happen all the time? Does he bring home new partners all the time, and she's like, I don't want to meet this one. I'm going to my room.
Oh, so you think it's like high rotation.
Yeah, maybe. I don't want – or maybe she was attached to the last one. Maybe she liked the last one or something and doesn't want a bar of this new one.
Yeah. Way back.
You're such a deep thinker,
isn't she?
Really?
Yeah, my brain was like, that's fucking rude.
Rude.
Not only rude, I'm also going family, weird.
Yeah, that's my thing. Like maybe the sister's got issues or something, or is there something, you know, she's also like maybe it's just she's upset about something and something's wrong in her life or whatever. But like the parents or the boyfriend should be like, hey, don't mind her.
Yeah.
Just that. Like just, hey, don't mind her for X reasons.
But also did she say that it happens all the time? Or
no,
I've made that up. Okay, so that's the first time. Well, yeah, I'm kind of with Sammy as well. I'm like, I don't think I'd be getting too upset about a one-off. Like if I rocked up there repeatedly and she did it every time, I'd be like, oh no.
But also, like, you're not dating the sister, so like.
Well, that's the thing as well. Like, my immediate reaction was like, "Who cares?" But then, like, I guess if it's uncomfortable because you're going around there all the time and she keeps doing it, like, maybe you'd want to find out what's up. But like, but you'd do it subtly. I'd ask, like, you know that I'd be like, "Hey." I just march up and like knock on the bedroom door. We need to talk.
Yeah. So this
why do you live here and here?
Let me put to you what my instinctual gut reaction was, not her behavior, although I do think that's rude, but why the fuck didn't the boyfriend say anything?
Yeah, that's my only
thing.
Why
didn't the boyfriend go, oh, look, she's got some stuff going on. It's not you. What? No, they just carried on like nothing had happened.
I wonder if the rest of the family can see her.
Okay, now we're getting closer.
Okay.
It was a mirage.
She's made up.
Poltergeist was an angle no one thought of.
If you thought, like Lizzie, you're dating now, if you met someone and you thought, oh, I'm going to have the shittest in-laws on earth, would that bother you or would you go, well, I'm not dating them, I'm dating that person?
Oh, no, that would bother me.
You're out?
Oh, I don't think I'd be out straight away. Like I'd give it a few more times. But if it became a problem, I think it would bother me,
You want to be like part of the family.
Yeah, I want to be in the fam. Mm.
Yeah. What about you two?
I'm great with in-laws.
Yeah, you
like,
would
I'm
do.
Great with in-laws. Yeah, yeah. Like I work hard to get them to like me. Yeah. I like them. Like I get along with them.
Yeah.
One of my exes. I'm at the point in my life where I have to say that.
A few like, people laughed.
After it ended, her parents were in touch with me for a year after like she and I were done. So yeah, no, I like in-laws. I'm perfectly fine with that.
Sammy
yeah.
Sharon, old people, peas in a pod.
Yeah. You I'm an ABC
there?
Present.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say. Yeah.
You've got to connect with the oldies if it you want to be on ABC. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I mind. I mean, like the Weebex would want to have a squeaky clean track record for me to be judging anyone else's family. Yeah. And they don't.
So you could look past it.
I reckon, yeah. I mean, yeah. I've definitely had some partners in the past with some shady family members.
Some complex family situations.
Yeah, complex situations. But yeah, I've focused on not dating the extended family mostly, so.
Yeah. Well, look, since she's written in and she wants some, I will give like the advice that I would give her would be to go back. I would talk to the boyfriend about it. Like don't also participate in the nothing happened because that is fucking weird, I reckon. Like at least raise it with him and then see what happens from there. Like if he goes, what, get over it, you're too sensitive, that's not good. If he goes, okay, I'll have a talk to my sister or this is what's happening.
Yeah.
Look at Weebix, like, you look mental.
Weebix is thinking, and then he goes, the sister died 17 years ago.
I'm trying to learn some stuff.
You're listening.
Yeah, right. I am. I'm active listening.
Move on. Next one. Dear Nelly, I'm 22. Bless you. 22. My boyfriend is the best guy alive.
That's a 22-year-old thing to say.
Isn't that adorable?
Only an idiot would say some shit like that.
That's so adorable. I know your podcast isn't aimed at me. Not true. It can be aimed at anybody. But I can't talk to my mum about this stuff, so I'm asking you.
Aww.
I'm equal parts offended and delighted. So he's the best guy alive. We've been together since year 9. He's a year older. Here it comes. Lizzie would have heard this one. He's great, but he just told me he wants an open relationship.
Yep, I saw that coming.
You saw it coming.
My
friends think this means he's already cheating. I don't think he is.
Oh, no, he is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Raise your hands if you think he's cheating. Yeah, there we go. That's it.
She goes on to say, I don't want to have sex with other people, but I think maybe I should be okay with it if he does.
No.
I don't even know if I'm good at it because I haven't slept with anyone else.
Oh.
What do you think?
Her world's going to be so much better so soon. Like
so
she's going to break up with him, meet new people, like have a way better time. He's going to get a man bun.
Yeah.
Probably. Start writing bad poetry, pick up a guitar, maybe work as a barista for a while, and then die. Like, it's just, that's the arc. That's his arc.
He's going top knot, too busy with the top knot, hasn't found her clitoris. Okay.
He buys a samurai sword at some point in the future. Yeah. We all see this.
He's bouldering.
Yeah. Oh, definitely bouldering.
He's going to encourage his new partner to shit in the sea.
Yeah.
You know what I saw last time I was at St Kilda Beach? A Black Panther.
Oh.
Interestingly. That's a niche joke just for me, Bev and Kirsty. What do you reckon? So this bloke, do you think he's cheating? Like, do you think that's a fait accompli, or do you think he's actually going, you know what?
Well, he's very close to.
You reckon he's got someone lined up?
Yeah.
Let me play devil's advocate. Yeah. Maybe he's 22. He's been with the same person since he was 14. Maybe he's going, I need to explore sexually, and he's doing the right thing by talking to her rather than just going rooting around.
I thought that when I was like, they're 22. They've been together since they were in high school or something.
Year nine,
which is crazy. He probably has had a logical thought. It's like, maybe I love this woman.
Yeah.
I assume he's not having it,
but we'll come back.
Yeah,
he's
like, I need to see other people before this goes any further. And to just,
All right, let me put this part to you, because the bit that worried me, it wasn't the question. The bit that worried me was her saying, I think I should be okay with it.
Yeah, if you're not okay with it, then
she's not okay with it if she's saying that.
Yeah, she doesn't have to be okay with it.
She doesn't have to be okay
like
with it.
Like, he can go off and have an open relationship, but she doesn't have to be cool with it.
Yeah.
I reckon, can I just quickly say that I'd like to believe that he's not cheating as well.
Yeah.
Like, I'd like to think that Lizzie's correct, and like, he's just like, we've been together since year nine, and what's happened is he's had a few of the boys around and they've gotten hold of a copy of Revenge of Catwoman 2.
He does turn a boy into a man.
And he's like, there's other things to explore out there.
In fact, the three watching the porn are in a thruple now, and it's a whole situation. Like, I think it's such a hard one, isn't it? Because, yes, I think that question is often used for someone to cover infidelity. That's the truth, that they're older, either planning to do or have already done. But I'm not sure if that's the case here. You just like, he's rooting around.
Yeah, he's 22. He's an idiot. Yeah. No, he's 23. She's 22.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's also,
they've been together long enough.
The audience has weighed in.
They've been together long enough. This isn't a country town in the 1800s. You can break up and meet other people. Like, it's fine.
Yeah. There's other. How about this is an option? If I want to give her actual advice, why don't you break up, be apart for a year, see what happens? If it's meant to come back together, come back together.
Yeah. Yes.
Because she did stress that he's the best dude in the world, right?
The best.
Yes. So she's hanging on to that. But I need to remind her that the bar is very low.
Yeah.
That is true. I 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
I set it low myself, personally. Yeah. I lower it every year.
Dare I say, particularly when you're 22.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
So I would, and I don't want, I'm not trying to be patronizing to her, but you don't know yet if he's the best guy in the world.
Mm.
Like, if I'm going to mum you, you don't know yet.
Yeah. How many questions before you get to, and he listens to Andrew Tate podcast?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. So, all right, we move on to another. I don't think we answered that, but it's all right.
Dump him.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, dump him. Gone. This is actually one of my favorites, but it's a little bit triggering. I might lose my breath. All right. Dear Nelly, I'm a woman in my late 40s. I'm recently single and my best friend is married. I've just started dating and keep getting really disinterested men on dates. Sammy, you'll be answering this one. And to be honest, they're not that good in bed. Maybe it's me, or maybe I'm not giving them a chance. My married friend had this advice for real. She thinks I'm choosing men who are too good looking. I quote, choose ugly guys. They try harder in the sack. Nelly, is this a thing? Are hot people shit roots? For context, she's very good looking, so maybe she doesn't try hard. Sammy Shah.
Oh.
Lizzie. No, we'll go to you, Lizzie.
I plead the fifth. No. That is true.
What's true?
That hot guys are not good at anything, actually. They don't need to be. They've never been challenged in life at all. They've got nothing to prove, anything. Like, you ever meet two hot people together? Like, they're both really good looking. They are the blandest, dumbest, least interesting humans, and they both do belly to belly every night. Like, that is it. It is no reason to be like that. She's making terrible choices. She's making shallow choices, and you live a shallow life then, yeah.
I suffer this affliction myself. I understand, Sammy. Lizzie, what do you reckon? Like, you're on the dating scene.
Oh.
Like, there is a thing, like, again, I'm always torn because there's the generalization and then we don't want to stereotype. But there is something about, like, as Sammy says, there is something to do with, like, being in a certain league of hot where you're so privileged that you don't even realize you're meant to make
You know, like, we've all, I won't name a name, but we all know, like, really hot comedians.
Yeah.
They're never funny. Like, it's all... They never are. You see, it's like a whole hour of like him showing his abs, and you're like, dude, write 5 minutes. Come on. Like, you need to look in the mirror and be like, I hate myself.
Yeah.
To be good at shit. Yeah.
And now everyone, hand up if you're mentally scanning any public comedians that you know, famous comedians, going, oh, you're right. Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. You're right. There's something to it. What do you think, Lizzie?
Oh, hot people. Okay. I went on that Raya app. Have you heard of that?
Oh my god. Raya? So Raya is an app for well-known people and celebrities.
Oh, it's celebrity. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Celebrity, okay. App that Lizzie,
yes,
yeah.
Yes,
they rejected me.
There are anyway. Celebrities on there. But there are also real estate agents.
Yeah.
Okay. And oh my gosh.
You get chance. On one LJ Hooker billboard, yeah. And suddenly you're famous.
But oh, don't pat me.
But my guy friend was also on this app, and I asked him to show me, because I was getting absolutely nothing, like no hits, no matches, nothing on this app. I said, what am I up against? What, show me. Oh my gosh. I've never felt more normal in my life. Like, hot. These girls, they knew how to use a GHD curler. Right. They had... like more than one makeup look.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
They were all just so hot. And I looked at my photo on this celeb
You're
dating
just as
app.
Gaddafi for some reason.
Yeah. Just me shitting in the ocean.
Looking surprised at the camera.
And then just the poop emoji. Yeah.
No,
you know what? I reckon plenty would still swipe right on you, even if you were shitting in the ocean.
Yeah. But my photo on this app is just me lighting up my head with a big palm tree, so it looks like I've got a cone head. And I'm like, oh, no wonder. No. That's why it's not working for me. And, yeah, I got rid of it. But I think, yeah, hot people are shallow. Yeah.
That is way back. Are you subscribing to this?
I also feel like I've noticed some people in the audience feeling bad for
yes.
hot people.
Yes.
What are you doing? Yeah. What's that? Yeah. Oh, what a miserable life hot yeah, people must
no,
lead.
They're fine.
They
don't yeah. even know their bad roots.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, as an incredibly hot person and an animal in the sack, I feel. Okay, that laughter is hurtful now.
Oh, hot, no doubt. Animal in the sack of like too much information. But you go, girl.
I'm just putting my best foot forward.
Yeah. or something.
Look, I think it's a horrible generalisation.
Oh, what a buzzkill.
There'll be some of my fellow hot people out there that are working hard under the sheets. Like, there will be.
I'm thinking maybe it's in the instruction. If she's not happy with it, maybe she's not giving the right instructions.
Oh, she's not communicating.
But
properly.
Did she say they're disinterested?
Yeah, no.
So she's on the date and they're disinterested and she's like, all right, let's go.
They don't think they have to put in any effort. Oh, I reckon she needs to be a sample size of one. She just needs to fuck some ugly guys and get back to us.
Okay.
Right?
For the science.
For the social experiment known as this podcast. All right, we're moving on because I love this one. Love this one. Dear Nelly, I learned a term, right? We're all learning. I am a Goldilocks. Do you know what a Goldilocks is, way back?
Nah.
You're the only one who's got any chance of knowing. I'm assuming you two don't. I'm a Goldilocks, which means I'm a lesbian who hangs out with gay bears.
I love it.
A Goldilocks.
I love it.
I love gay men. They love me. I also have a lot of straight female friends but don't know many lesbos. This makes dating hard. Also, buried the lead, I'm in love with my best friend.
Ooh.
I know she's straight. I cannot get past it. We drunk pash sometimes. Should I tell her? Snort, laugh, love it. Should I tell her? What can I do? I know I should date lesbians, but I don't know how to meet them. Help me, Nelly. Help me, Sammy, for you.
I have a question. What did that Goldilocks bit have to do with the second half
absolutely
of the story?
Absolutely nothing.
All right, at all.
Absolutely nothing.
It was just, she was doing her bio like when Nelly introduced yes. us all.
It's like a Stephen King novel. Like yeah. the story's going one way, then it goes another. Like,
but as yeah. if she I was going to edit that out.
Yeah.
She said she's like a
Sagittarius.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I just want a Goldilocks t-shirt. So, all right, let's just focus on the bit. She's in love with her straight best friend, Sammy Shah. What do you think? You're the best qualified to answer this
question. Yeah, absolutely.
He absolutely
as,
is.
As a,
I'm going to do
as
rebuttal.
As a Red Riding Hood.
oh, my God.
I love
he would
grannies.
Make a good bear. who's your daddy, Sammy? Have you ever been in love with a friend?
Not it, like, yeah, you have a crush on your, especially in like when you're in high school and stuff. We definitely have crushes on friends yeah. and that thing where like, I just want to tell them, but if I tell them, it'll end our friendship. And then you do tell them and they're like, oh, I thought it'd be like a friend. And sorry?
You do tell right. them and it ends your
yeah.
friendship.
Yeah. yeah. Saltburn. Saltburn. I haven't seen that yet. Don't spoiler alert.
Yeah, no spoilers, man.
Yeah, no, I think, but the problem is the friend is straight.
Yeah.
But they have passed.
Well, that's not uncommon, Sammy.
Oh, I don't know. Yes. I'm a 45-year-old guy from Pakistan. This is all new to me. tell him you're going to lose him as a friend or gain a new partner. Who, like, what's the big deal? I'm still confused about the bears. And
have you ever... I have been listening to this man stand up and listening to him on radio for, nearly a decade. I've never heard you more uncomfortable and I'm so fucking happy with myself. I am so happy with myself. Webeck, resident lesbo, go for it.
Well, thanks for dragging me out of the closet.
oh, my God, I just outed Kirsty Webeck at the Mold House.
No one had what? Any idea. I've dabbled.
well, I will say, if I may, you might have dabbled with the odd straight girl here or there.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm an expert on this topic. Like, I exclusively dated straight women for years and years and years. Like, accidentally, I was just a magnet. And... it never
does straight mean something else? Because if they're dating you, are they not straight? Like,
well, I mean, temporarily.
Okay.
Yeah. They had like
gave
a,
for the pay.
Yeah,
gave
they the had day. A free 1 month trial. some of them extended, others cancelled their subscription.
oh. Dare I say, Webeck, if they had a free 1 month trial with you, they wouldn't be going back. Come on now. You just said you're an animal in the sheet. But there is a phenomenon, Sammy, let us educate you, and Lizzie will be aware of this. I don't know if you've done it. But there is a thing where straight girls in particular, I don't think straight guys do this so much, but they will pash other girls. But that
depends which movie we're watching.
Oh my God. Yeah. You're watching porn with your friends and we're all going, totally normal. But you can't pass another girl. Yeah. There is a thing, right?
Girls
have a couple of drinks. Ah,
yeah. Oh, let's pash.
Yeah. Which actually you can really fuck with someone's feelings. Right?
Yeah.
Well, this person's feelings are fucked with.
That's what I'm saying.
You gave me such intense eye contact then, like I'd been up to something. Like you made me doubt myself. I was like, what's going on here? You can.
Lizzie.
Great answer.
I think she should ask the friend or just put it out there and say, look, I have feelings for you. Is there any chance of that?
And no, then, mate.
No, oh, Lizzie.
What the hell?
Now, Lizzie.
Why can't you do that?
Right. Let me put this to you, Lizzie. Let's say we go back.
Did I not have the worst answer on this
How
panel?
Did you know? You've
sorry. Sorry for cutting you off, Lizzie. I apologize.
But for real, if your friend, let's say I come to you. We don't know each other super well, but let's say I come to you and I go, Lizzie, actually, I've developed some feelings for you. Next time you see me, you're going to be awkward as fuck.
Yeah.
Right?
And Nelly's going to be like, but all the signs were there. You've got a greyhound. You live in Brunswick. I was confused.
I don't mind you shitting in the ocean.
You're leather presenting, Lizzie Who.
I am.
You can shit in my ocean any day.
I'm picking up on what you said. I reckon she could say to the friend, what's with all the drunk pushing?
Yeah, something like that.
Like that. Don't go in going, I've got feelings for you. That's okay. Madness.
Wouldn't that just make the friend feel awkward or weird?
Well, the friend should feel fucking awkward.
We really don't like the friend, clearly. I don't know. I'm picking up a vibe here that the friend is to blame.
The friend is either repressing her own sexuality or she's toying with this woman. Okay. Either way,
or she's getting maggot and having fun.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking,
or
right?
You think she's just getting pissed and having a nice passion, doesn't think anything of it.
Yeah.
But that's her friend.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's good, like I'm not doing it, but I'm just throwing it out there as another theory. Like she's probably just having a few too many drinks. She's on the hardy shardy and she's like, come here, Twitter. Like, it might just be mindless, but obviously it's not for the person on the receiving end.
No, I don't know. Am I being too judgy? I think it's a bit reckless. Too judgy? All right, pass away. Pass whoever you fucking want. What do you reckon, Lizzie?
My question is, are there some, like, happy drugs involved?
Maybe one of those passions.
Some happy drugs.
So putting alcohol aside, is it one of the other ones?
I reckon there might be like a bit of touchy-feely.
That's true.
Okay. So are we raising it or are we just letting it go and pashing with gay abandon, pun intended?
I think they pash again and then she should just come yell it out, really embarrass herself. Really ruin the friendship.
Like that.
Yeah.
I've loved you my whole
life. Yeah, go for the Hollywood. Hollywood moment.
You've got the worst advice I've ever heard.
It's so bad. It's so bad. I'm like, just find a leather and get together.
Yeah. This is what I'm
saying. Move on.
Move on from the straight girl.
Yeah.
All right.
No good will come of it.
30 seconds. How's she going to find some lesbians? She says, I don't know any lesbians.
Bunnings.
Or JB Hi-Fi. Mystery solved. Dear Nelly, I got divorced a year ago after 30 years of marriage. About 5 years of that marriage were good.
Ooh.
I remain civil with my ex for the kids, but we're not friends. One of the major issues in our relationship was that he never did his share around the house or with the kids. No one can relate to that. His reason was, and I quote, no one taught him, and it's, and I quote, generational. Hold your age. Last week I visited his house for a kid thing. Nelly, and this is in all caps, I can't stress this enough. Nelly, the house was clean. He'd cooked lunch. It was shit, but still. And this fucker had house plants. He had house plants, Nelly. When he was with me, he wouldn't even put a sprinkler on the fucking lawn. Why does his green thumb lifestyle enrage me so? P.S. Love the podcast. P.P.S. Should I poison his maiden hairs? My name is Janine. Use my actual name. Can you feel the estrogen fuel rage in the audience? All right, who wants to take this one? I would call shorthand, this is weaponized incompetence. How do we feel about it?
Yucky.
What do you reckon?
No cleaning and then all of a sudden, I don't know, did he get a cleaner?
Did he get a cleaner? Yeah, he got a new girlfriend.
My first thought was that, but he's got a new partner.
Tell us from the other side, Sammy, what's going on? What's going on?
Why am I the villain in every story we do?
You know why.
Yeah, fair enough. my first suspicion is he got a cleaner. First suspicion is he got a girlfriend. Second option is he got a cleaner. Third option is he got his life together, and that is enraging because you don't want your ex to do well, and I completely get that. You want to see them miserable and doing badly, but life doesn't work out that way sometimes. And it's okay to feel bitter and resentful.
Yeah.
And yes, poisoning one or two plants is fine. If he's that good with his thumb, he'll get them more, you know.
Pick the two most expensive houseplants, put some boiling water on them.
Yeah.
All right? Don't involve any bunnies. just do that. Can you imagine? Let me paint the picture, because this is a 30-year marriage. It sounds to me, and we hear this repeatedly from callers, she has begged her husband to, like, help more, try this, given him plans, whatever the fuck, tried to manage it. No, 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 can't do it. It's generational. And then whatever, however long later, he's doing those things. I immediately thought he had a new girlfriend. He's doing it for somebody else. Yeah. The rage, Lizzie.
Yeah, I'd be pissed off. I would be. But I feel like maybe he's trying to get back out there, and that's why he's cleaning the house. You can't.
Yeah.
You wouldn't meet anyone if people came over and there was a dirty house, no plants.
So he's prepared to make effort for a lady off Tinder, and not for his wife.
I don't know.
Oh, is that where we're...
That's over, that's, right?
Like, yeah, it's too late. I feel we like
do,
it's...
Here's the thing. We do want him to become a better person.
Do we?
Not for...
Yeah. Like,
when we're on her side, no, of course.
No, no, yeah. No, no.
But in for humanity's he's, side, yeah. yes, we yes. want him
he's
to be a better
it
person.
Around. Right, he's, yeah. he's watched a few episodes of Queer Eye.
Yeah, he's getting it together.
He's getting it together.
He's had a one-to-one with Karamo.
We're so happy for him. Like, it's that kind of a
well
thing.
Well done,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, good
well
for you.
Done.
Yeah.
It's also not the only reason that they're not together anymore.
Yeah.
So, like, I'd be enraged to begin with. I'd leave the maiden hairs alone because they've done nothing.
Innocent victims in
yeah,
this
yeah. yeah, they're bystanders. Leave them be. But
what about a cactus?
No, nothing. Like, leave just fucking leave the plants alone. Like, but like, I'd probably be annoyed to begin with, and then I'd be like, well, like, we didn't break up because he didn't clean.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, there's a load of reasons we didn't break up that we did break up. Like, I'm a lesbian.
Also,
you know, I'd be like, so his house is clean. He's still a dickhead. I'm better off without him.
You do want also, the kids are going there still, right? And you want the kids to have a good role model.
Yes.
In their dad, clearly, who was not all this time.
Yes.
So finally, at least there's that.
But they see that.
Yeah.
I think, like, if I'm being, like, serious, you're absolutely right. But I also think it's important to listen to, like, those excuses. No one taught me and it's generational. Fuck that.
Yeah.
You knew how to do it all along. You chose not to.
Yeah, he's not a prince amongst men. Like, nobody's making that argument. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to be on maths next season. That's what I reckon. Top knot, the whole fucking thing. Right. Oh, this is an interesting one. Dear Nelly, how can we smash the patriarchy? I can answer that. Become a Patreon subscriber. Next one. Dear Nelly, straight guy in his late 40s. I've been dating a woman I met online for about 6 months. It's going great, but two things. One, she talks about her ex a lot. Two, she still wears a charm bracelet he bought her. It has a charm on it for every year they were together. I asked about it and he said, just a bracelet that I like. She said, sorry, it's just a bracelet that I like. I don't want to be that guy, but I wouldn't do that. Is this weird?
Yeah.
It's pretty sentimental.
The charms, yeah.
Like the charms of every year that they would get. It's wildly sentimental.
That's not like using a kettle you both had or something. It's,
it's not like just using their Netflix subscription.
Yeah.
It's like, and presumably the charms have meanings.
Oh, yeah.
Does she have to get rid of the charm bracelet or is it just the wearing it or is it that combined with talking about the ex all the time?
6 months more, he can add to it.
Oh my God!
Just a maybe it's
saves him buying one.
Yeah, he can just continue the charm.
That's true.
Back on the last bloke's bracelet.
Yeah,
just a new charm.
New charm.
Yeah, that's nice. That's really tasteful.
I like it. That's...
Do you like that?
You've done it again, Lizzie.
Just a nice. I'm thinking an eggplant.
Yeah.
Just give her an eggplant charm for
eggplant
Christmas.
Charm.
Stunning.
What do you reckon, Weebeck? Do you ditch the shit from your ex or is this okay?
I think it's a combination of talking about them all the time and then having.
Yes.
Like, it's an incredibly sentimental gift.
Yes.
I think that's the issue. And if you're with someone new, like years ago when I was dating on the apps and stuff, like there was a real strong culture of talking about your exes.
Yeah.
And it was like some kind of icebreaker and people would just lean on it. And you'd get over it really quickly, like when you started dating, like when you, you know, you were proper together for a bit. So, like to keep banging on about your ex is a lot, I think. And it's like.
Big mistake.
It's a huge mistake. And yeah. like anyone that's dating you is going to feel terrible about that. And then to have the charm bracelet on as well, like.
It's like a locket.
Yeah.
It's the equivalent of like if you were still wearing a locket and yeah. had a picture in it or something. It's not a generic bit of jewellery.
No, it's too – because like when Elle and I got together, I used to have a picture of my ex and I like on the ceiling above our bed. and after like 2 years, Elle was like, can you take it down now? And
I respect that. Yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty possessive. Yeah. And
Elle. Elle is very – that's very controlling behaviour.
She's very controlling. She's so chill. Like if that story were true, like the picture would still be up there. Like, she'd be like, I don't care.
I would have bought in a team. So, Lizzie, what do you reckon? If you go on a date with a guy you met on the apps, you've been on a few dates or something and he's still wearing something that his ex gave him, would you care? Not care?
It depends what it is. If it's a nice shirt, no way. That's
keep
great.
Keep it.
Yeah. Right, there's good. So many ghosts of ex-boyfriends in my apartment, like the bed.
a little the ghost mattress, she murdered one of them.
The dog.
Yes.
The dog. There's so much of my – yeah, when I put on my Apple TV, we're still sharing subscriptions.
Let me tell you a couple of stories about this mattress.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, I think like when we got together years ago, we were sleeping in his ex's bed.
Oh, it's a lovely it's chain. I mean, this is the circle of life according to the Straits.
Yes. This is it.
There's actually only one bed in the world and it's just yours.
Yeah.
I reckon it might be time to treat yourself to some new
bed
linen.
Guys? I got new linen. So.
You got the new linen. Yeah. Look, I think we need more information. If they're talking about the ex a lot, that's more of a concern than the charm bracelet, I reckon.
Yeah, they need to have a discussion.
The charm bracelet is also the big problem because it's not a practical thing. You keep the practical things like the beds and the nice shirt or whatever.
Oh, you keep the Thermomix.
Yeah.
You're not giving up that shit.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's so true.
What utility does a charm bracelet have?
Yeah, is one of the charms like a screwdriver?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Is it an Allen key?
Is it a bottle opener? Oh, my God.
I will say that my ex bought me earrings just before we broke up and I've never worn them because I feel weird about that.
I would feel a bit weird. Cash converters. Yeah, I don't know.
Marketplace.
It wouldn't be a deal breaker, but I would
yeah,
be
I feel weird about
out.
It. So, I think the bracelet's got to go.
So we've got no advice, really. Well, you're saying get rid of the bracelet.
Stop wearing it.
I think the bracelet's
got to
go.
Don't reference it. Just wear it. You don't have to say your ex got it for you, though.
Just put it on Marketplace.
Yeah.
All right, we're done. All right. I'm a 20, dear Nelly. I'm a 25-year-old queer AMAB, assigned male at birth. I love your podcast. It's like you are the mum I wish I had. I came out a few years ago and it hasn't gone well, bless. I still live at home because hashtag housing crisis. The only reason I can understand this is because I've got teenagers, so I can like understand. Yeah. My parents are not supportive and say pretty cooked things to me. I brought it up with them and they suggested wait for it. Oh, Sammy, this is right up your alley. That I watch some straight porn to get over it. I suggested Dad watch some gay porn to get into it. And he didn't like that. Nelly, they're your age. No offence. But that's not that old, is it? They should know better, right? Or is it just a thing of that generation? What should I do? Bless. Aww. What do you reckon? Anyone?
Where in Queensland does he live?
He lives in Northern.
Comedy?
Yes. Yes. Should do stand-up.
Yeah, do stand-up.
Yeah. Hmm. I love the retaliation.
Like yeah, it's funny.
That's quick on your feet. Yeah. You watch some fucking gay porn, Dad, and see how that goes. But this is someone who is having to live in an environment that denies their very existence, right?
Yeah, that's tough.
It's horrible.
Horrid.
Yeah.
What do you reckon, way back?
Yeah, it's awful. I hate it. It gave me a little bit of hope with the comeback.
Yes.
Like hopefully they're holding their own as much as they can
yes.
in the circumstances and, yeah, hopefully they'll be able to get out of there soon. But
I think move out as quick as possible is the only. Yeah.
Pardon?
Yeah. Move out as quick as possible. It's like, get away.
Yeah, it life. Sucks. Like it, because it's like that. Just feels like terrible. Like just a terrible baseline for advice. But like that's what it is. It's like you've got to save up and get out of there. Yeah. Like, which is obviously easier said than done. Hashtag housing crisis. But it's horrible and it's so toxic for someone's soul to.
Yeah,
they have their entire existence denied. So,
and that is also really extreme. Like, it's not like they're a little bit uncomfortable and they're kind of saying the wrong thing every now. They're like, I mean, that's fucking Clockwork Orange situation, right? Like, if you watch this gay porn, if you watch the straight porn, it'll make you straight. Like, it's very coercive and damaging. So, baseline, if you can, get out of there.
Get out of there and keep dishing it back.
Keep pushing her back. So, yeah, let's assume they can't get out of there in the immediate 6 months and it doesn't have to, it could be another issue. What would you say to them? Like, how do you
find community?
Survive that? Find community.
Find community outside the house.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't already have it, find some other people that identify with the queer experience and that you can lean on a little bit. You like need a support network.
Yes, yes. And also that you can vent to.
Absolutely.
Right? So that if you can go to them and go, Dad said this, like even if you can't move out, to have other people then go, oh, you poor thing. Or that was shit. Because the danger, I think, is that you take that shame on. Right? And if you're living in it, yeah, any other advice or we just like move out if we can?
Not like what Kirsty said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to fucking chime in, Lizzie.
I'm scared of what I might say.
Lizzie's like, shit on the lawn.
Do you know, that just reminded me of a friend of mine who had really, really homophobic parents, and then when she came out, like it took a couple of years, but they actually did come around and they ended up developing a really love relationship. And then she was like, now they keep coming over all the time. Like it's really annoying. So she started leaving like lesbian porn out and like a strap on and weren't phased, just couldn't get rid of them. Careful what you wish for. This one's very interesting. This will be our last question. Dear Nelly, I'm a young woman, I guess. I'm 28. You're definitely a young woman. I'm 28 and still a virgin. I've made out with a few guys. Did someone laugh? How dare you? No, that's right. Oh, now I've made it weird. I've made out with a few guys but never gone all the way. I would like to. I'm just not a one-night stand person and I haven't been in love yet. I'm back on the apps and I don't know how to tell people. Do I need to tell them I'm a virgin? What do I say? Can I just wing it? Will it put them off?
Ooh. Lizzie who?
The Lizzie question if I ever heard one, yeah.
I guess you don't have to tell someone if you don't want to, but I feel like if you want it to mean something and like meet someone that you want to, if it's that important to you, then you have to tell them. And I think that a nice person would be okay with it.
I mean,
no?
Would they?
You'd talk about it with your friends at dinner. You would. You'd go back and be like, she told me she's a virgin. What do I do? I don't know.
Because I reckon, like, I think your answer is what I wish would happen. But I can imagine a 28-year-old on a date saying to a guy, I'm actually a virgin, and him like the wheels spinning on his Monaro as he fucked off down the road.
I mean, I wouldn't say the first date. I wouldn't put it in the bio.
No.
I think maybe, you know, when you've been on several dates.
Yeah.
And then it is time to actually, maybe now you're thinking, all right, maybe I do not like and trust this person enough to sleep together. Then you say it because at that point there's enough trust established.
Yeah.
If they still run away, then anyway weren't worth it, right?
Then off you fuck.
Yeah. Or not.
Or you could just wait until like the sex is going really badly and be like, oh, sorry.
It's my first time.
It's my first rodeo.
This is some on the job training.
I'm currently undertaking an apprenticeship.
Look, I reckon Yeah. Craig, what's your idea? We need a new app called Like a Virgin. Craig.
Nelly's very disappointed.
Nice. I'm very disappointed.
I like that. So Craig's going down the fine community path.
Yeah.
I'm really in two minds because let's face it, she could wing it.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to tell anybody.
Yeah.
But do you think she's better off telling? Like, as Sammy said, if they go on a number of dates and they've established some rapport and there's some da-da-da and kind of going, look, I'm a bit nervous to tell you this. Or is honesty the shittest policy on earth when it comes to
this? I think it'll be an emotional experience.
Shittest policy.
Yeah, I don't know if you have to tell people.
No, but I'll tell you why. The only reason is, and it's not because it's like, oh, the other person deserves to know. It's because it'll be an emotional experience.
Will it, Sammy?
Wouldn't it?
Nah.
I mean, we're in 2024, Sammy. We're not like,
yeah,
we're not wearing chastity belts until our mid-20s.
For that reason.
We're not like, oh, I've got to hand my virginity over to you tonight, sir. This means a lot.
But
if anyone, the first time at 28 or what, 28 or 26,
yeah, 28.
Right? That's anybody. It'll be a big deal when it's the first time. It doesn't matter what gender they are or anything.
Okay.
If you waited that long and there's been so much build up, there'll be an emotional reaction regardless of who you are. And the other person will be like, why are you crying? Like, am I that? Like, what? Like, it's just, it's
Why
a nice thing
crying?
To share.
Yeah.
Sammy!
On a happy cry.
Yeah.
I'm literally trying to paint a beautiful picture of an emotional moment. This cynical crowd.
No, you succeeded. Okay. I'm moved.
Oh, my God. I wish I'd asked this question first. But we have to finish up. But I have to say a couple of things.
Sammy's cancelled and now let's wrap up the show.
Do you know what's occurring to me, Sammy, is that we ask straight guys to be sensitive and emotionally intelligent and lovely and you're sitting here doing all that and us three going, fuck off. It meant nothing.
That
just fucking, I give it away
true.
On Ligon Street. That's,
but in Lizzie and my defence, we didn't invite him on the
That's
podcast.
True. That is fair. There's only one person I hold responsible. Yeah.
I take all the responsibility.
Love you,
I love
Sammy.
You all. We've gone a little bit over time, so we have to finish up. But please smash your hands together for our lovely panel. Kirsty Weybeck, Lizzie Hu, Sammy Shah. I'm Nelly Thomas. We will see you at the bar later. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for coming.
Dear Nelly, I could use some advice. Dear Nelly, yeah, some help would be nice. Dear Nelly, I'm eager to hear your point of view. Dear Nelly, there's a lot to explore. Dear Nelly, when you're 40 or more. Dear Nelly, so I'm hoping we can talk it through.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to Dear Nelly. Now, don't be shy. I would love to hear your questions and comments. To send me a recording or an email, go to nellythomas.com and follow the links. It's super easy, and you might hear me talk about your question in a future episode. Huge thanks to producer Sam Peterson from the Producer Boy Creative Production team and to producer Faye Younger, who in addition to being an excellent human, is also a brilliant real estate buyer's advocate and can be found at youngerhill.com. Thanks to Acast and all the team. And lastly to you. Without the listeners, I'm just a middle-aged mole talking shit to no one. Please rate, review and consider subscribing for $5 a month for a bonus episode and to help me keep the lights on. and tell your bloody mates, would you? I'd really appreciate it. Love yous.